So we just had Stacey call in, and she was complaining about James Harden's entire playoff career resume and all that. And I basically said, you know what, at this moment in time, I just don't care. I flat out don't care. For one, I think we're talking about the Rockets team right now, and is James Harden delivering an MVP caliber performance versus the Warriors? No. But you can't deny the effect he has on the team and others, and the gravity that he has, the way he pulls Draymond Green away from other players, the shots he creates for other people.
Yes.
So there is that, because what we're talking about right here is the team right now. If James Harden had had a vintage MVP performance last night, yeah, they would have won by 20. That's great. What I was saying, because we have this guy, this Mike Slayton, says, you just ignored and minimized everything she said. She didn't say anything about the past two games. She clearly stated his entire postseason resume is garbage. You chose not to address that. Mike Slayton, you got to listen, buddy. I clearly addressed it when I said I don't care. Like, this is what you need to understand. When I give you a response that you don't like, that doesn't mean I'm not addressing what she just said. Use your listening ears, bud. I don't care. Because at this point, it's all about the team. And it's all about, is this team capable of defeating the Golden State Warriors? It's the whole damn milieu. It's a whole blend of, oh, God, please. Jesus, Muhammad, all the Hindu gods, please get Chris Paul's hamstring healthy for
Confucius.
Game 7. Confucius wasn't really a god, but whatever. I'll pray to Confucius.
Why not?
Confucius was a philosopher.
Ghost of Confucius.
Yeah.
I feel like he fits the whole concept.
Look, everybody, we've got no time for squabbling about what the one true religion is here. We need all of them.
We need everybody.
We need all of them right here. The real ones, the fake ones, all of them. We need them all working on Chris Paul. Excuse me. Yeah, Chris Paul's hamstring. Very tired.
Here's my question. Since we were kind of up against it, we were in our headline segment. So Stacey called. She's upset about James Harden. When it comes to the way he approached last night's game, my question to the audience is, what do you want him to change about his approach to last night's game? You could say he could drive a little bit more. But in the fourth quarter, the most important quarter, James Harden drove consistently over and over and over again. On the biggest play of the game, the drive that led to Eric Gordon's three, the guy who drove to the basket was James Harden. I'm not saying he played well last night. He shot 0 of 11 from 3. He was 5 of 21.
Six turnovers is big.
That's the biggest thing that concerns me most of all.
Like, on any given night, he's going to make at least 3 of those 11 three-pointers.
Yes.
So that was like, for a bad offensive night, that was really bad from the three-point line. And you might say, look, like, if they're not dropping, drive more. They've also got, this team's got that mentality, and I'm okay with it, that when you've got open threes, you take those open threes. Now, one of Chris Paul's best threes of the night was just a bad play where he was dribbling. Steph Curry's defending him,
yep.
And he jacks up a sidearm three, and it goes in, and it gave us the best gif ever, which is him shimmying up in Steph Curry's face. He did that a few times last night, by the way. I didn't notice until I was watching the highlights this morning. There were a couple different times that he was shimmying in Steph Curry's face, at least twice. And so I don't know what to say other than that we'll have the entire offseason for James Harden MVP discussions. Right now, I flat out don't care.
And he's going to win. Here is Steph Curry on Chris Paul shimmying after the game last night.
Steph, what do you think of Chris Paul's little shimmy?
It was well deserved. It's a tough shot. If you can shimmy on somebody else, you got to be all right getting shimmied on. So I'll keep shimmying, and maybe he will too. So we'll see what happens.
Let's be fair. That was a pretty diplomatic response.
These guys are. It's like they amped up the Paxil last night or something after the post game. When was Kerr smiling? Was it the end of the first half or the end of the second half?
It was like late in the game.
He was like having a chat with like an old friend he hadn't seen since college.
They're right with God or something like that. Like, I understand that they're the champions, and I understand that they're the best team in the league, most talented. But for them to not have any ounce of concern or worry after the game yesterday just made me feel like the Rockets lost the game.
I'm going to tell you this. This is what I'm concerned for America, and this is why, people.
Okay.
Bill Belichick, Steve Kerr, they both lost their edge.
They've lost their edge. Did Kerr have an edge?
Kerr, can you break a clipboard? Yeah, right. Okay, you've fallen for it just like everybody else. Who gets more technicals than Steve Kerr?
He got more technicals
who
than
breaks
anybody
clipboards on the sideline like a kung fu master?
Yes.
Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr is one of the most whiniest, cantankerous, angriest dudes around, yet somehow because he looks like Doogie Howser, people think he's swell. Steve Kerr is the guy who couldn't get along with Mike D'Antoni, who actually seems like genuinely like one of the nicest dudes around. And as of yet, through five games in the Western Conference Finals, Mike D'Antoni is coaching Steve Kerr's pants off of him. Bring back Luke Walton. Maybe Luke Walton could do something with this crew. Maybe, which he did when Steve Kerr was gone.
Mike Brown won his first 12 playoff games.
Mike Brown. Good point. Luke Walton. I don't know. I don't see the difference between them and Steve Kerr. So far,
Jackson.
Steve Kerr. What's that?
Not Mark Jackson.
Well, Mark
Jackson. That was before.
That's a whole other
situation right there. Let's go to the phone. People want to weigh in on Harden. They want to weigh in on Chris Paul. The injury, 713-572-4610. Let's have some fun with our friend Pavtex Roberts on Mad Radio. Rob, good morning.
You got
go ahead.
Short leash here, buddy.
Short leash.
What's going on, guys?
Hello.
I see you all riled up this morning, Seth. What's going on, Mike? Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good.
I'm not worried about last night's loss, man. I'm just like Steve Kerr. Just, you know, they gave him the call last night from the NBA for the guys to go ahead and play a real game. So it's going to 7, and it'll be over with, and we can talk about how James Harden sucked throughout the whole playoffs. CP3 is done. You've seen the way the trainer patted his leg last night. He was like, it's okay, little buddy. You got us this far. You shimmy-shaked all the way until you messed up your own groin. I appreciate him shimmy-shaking and hurting himself. And I'll see you in game 7, baby boys.
Yeah, that's all.
Pavtex Rob out.
See, the problem
is that, you know, the thing about Pavtex Robert? No, at least Pavtex Robert has some fire about this. Draymond Green, this is the other thing I wonder about with the Warriors right now. Draymond Green has been like physically punked the last two games. Clint Capella is punking Draymond Green. Draymond Green is terrified of catching a pass in crunch time. Steph Curry, who is now 0-for-6 in his career when he has a chance to go ahead with a shot with 24 seconds or less, may indeed actually lack a clutch gene. Like all these things about
I wouldn't go that far.
No clutch gene, Mike. No clutch gene.
He was great in Game 7.
Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. I think what everybody needs to understand is that they are squandering away a chance at all time greatness. If they get out of this stretch of time with two championships, will history remember them as?
I can't think of another example, but that would be a huge disappointment. I know it's weird to say two championships in the span of 4 years is a big disappointment, but for them it would be a massive, massive disappointment. And I'm very baffled by all these people being as nonchalant as they are about this whole thing. But I mean, maybe I'm completely crazy. We have a lot of interesting suggestions, by the way, on the text line, Seth, for my question of what would you trade in Houston sports for in exchange for Chris Paul being healthy in this series. Somebody weighed in and said that they would trade Watt and his health for Chris Paul's health. We had somebody else who said they would trade Clowney and his health for Chris Paul's health right now.
Clowney and his health or J.J. Watt and his health? J.J. got a lot of screen time last night. J.J. and
Justin Timberlake.
And J.J.'s girlfriend. Well, a lot of people are upset that J.J.'s girlfriend wasn't getting more recognition for being a very
really
good professional.
Yeah. A lot of people or just a couple people on the internet?
I don't know. Like enough that I'm barely on Twitter at all during the game, and I know at least four people popped up saying, "Well, look, Ohio is one of the best. She's one of the best soccer players in the country." There you go.
Yeah, I'm not going to expect Marv Albert to know that.
I'm just noting this. Justin Timberlake looked like a dude sitting in the emergency exit row and coach. All kinds of leg room, but this hulking monster next to him.
JJ was pretty rude, man.
Well, you think he's taking up too much space?
Yeah, I feel like JJ was being a little bit rude to him. He was not giving him his space. His elbow was pretty much in Timberlake's armpit. JJ should have been leaning over to the girl, or he should have let the girl sit between them, because it's one thing to crowd Timberlake, but you could crowd some schmuck to your left that's a oil and gas guy. But don't do that to Justin Timberlake. He's got another concert tomorrow.
The schmuck to his left is his girlfriend, and I'm guessing like future wife.
Well,
so that's,
I'm saying
she should have sat between them. But JJ wasn't secure enough to let his girl sit by JT. He wasn't secure enough to let his girl sit by JT.
Hey, well, you know what?
Headline porn.
If that were the case, am I going to blame him?
I would not blame him for that.
I'm not going to let my wife shimmy and gyrate next to JT.
Would you do if your wife was just vibing with JT? Would you just think it was cool for her, or what?
They hit it off.
Oh, and they were just like, and then like he's going to the concession line. And he's like, hey, can I get you a beer? You need anything? What are you doing? What is Seth Payne doing?
Like, what if she's just giggling and laughing the whole time? She's like hitting him on the shoulder when he makes a joke and everything.
Hey, you want to come to the show tomorrow?
I'm not a jealous man. Like I think I have the appropriate amount of jealousy. That amount of public jealousy, though, or potential for that's a tough one. I think JJ made the right move. Well, you can't risk your next. Look, I'm not even blaming any particular woman. JT's probably got a charisma and a magnetism to him, the likes of which we've never seen. I can't subject my wife to that temptation. I don't want her to. This is like I have to wrap her up in a robe and move her to my left. It's not even like it's not a misogynist thing or anything like that. That's all. Yeah.
So I don't have a wife at the moment, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But if I did, I kind of feel like if I felt like there was no potential for anything actually to happen,
yeah.
But they were vibing and kind of getting along with each
other. Well, how do you know that there's no potential to happen? She's sitting by Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake.
If I know like we're going home right afterwards, yeah. If he's doing a concert, like she's not going away on Friday or Saturday.
Her
night.
Body's going home with you, but her mind is in Justin.
But the good thing also is that you know that if she does cheat on you with Justin Timberlake, he's just never going to talk to her again. So it might actually be some bragging rights that you're in the same league as Justin Timberlake.
I would
think to myself, if Justin Timberlake was willing to sleep with my wife, I feel like I'm doing pretty well.
Exactly. Well, and he's never going to talk to her again. He's married.
Do we know that Justin Timberlake is highly selective or something?
I don't.
That might just be like...
What
if you see it? What if he sleeps with your wife and then you find out later that he slept with like 3 garden trolls that night as well? Like, and then you feel even worse.
I'm assuming that I wouldn't find that out.
I think the thing is about this, for one, is like to make it actually genuinely personal about it, I would genuinely trust my wife to be hanging out next to JT, and I think that whatever flirtation there might be, that would make her feel pretty good.
Yes.
So I'm okay with that. Now if I wasn't in a good relationship and things were kind of dicey with my wife, I might just have to or like let's say my girlfriend, let's say I'm like 23 years old and it's my girlfriend and we're just kind of seeing each other, she's sitting on my left. You're just getting to know her. Yeah, she's sitting on my left.
Yeah, you got to be on the left.
Yeah,
I would agree with that.